Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to open up your Bibles to the 23rd chapter of the book of Genesis. And while you're turning, I want you to know that a press release went out this week all over the state of Florida, because Sandra Tenbrook was recognized as the Woman of the Year in Agriculture for the state of Florida. Sandra, would you stand? Would you stand? Can we just congratulate her? Hey, listen. Thank you. That is a big, big deal. And she has a storied and accomplished career at the University of Florida. And her expertise is in equine studies. And I tell you what a tremendous blessing it is. Congratulations on all that. Well, I want you to know we have all kinds of people here at North Central Baptist Church, and all people are welcome here. Every ethnicity, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds, we live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church and challenges us in this church to share Jesus Christ, make disciples, who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. I missed something, but that's okay. I get it. Sometimes it just happens, doesn't it? All right. Let me just say this to you. We have seen in Abraham and Sarah so many different lessons. Can I tell you something, church family? One of the things that has been a hallmark of our church way before my time is that we study the Bible systematically. You know, when you come to certain things, you teach them. You don't skip over it. Okay, and we come to an interesting chapter today. The title of the message is Sarah Dies. I don't do a lot of sermons on death, but Sarah dies in the chapter today, and so we're going to talk a little bit about it. But we've seen all of this in Abraham and Sarah's life. We've watched how they obeyed God, and they left Ur, and they left Haran in Genesis 12. Such a key passage of Scripture for the gospel and for the message of Jesus Christ to the world is in Genesis 12. You should really dig in and study those verses in Genesis 12. The call of Abram to come out of the Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land he did not know about. Well, we've saw that. We've seen mistakes they've made. Remember Hagar? Remember Ishmael when they said that you're going to have a child and Sarah laughed? Remember the lies about Sarah being Abraham's wife that they told? We have seen them laugh when they were told that a boy would be delivered from Sarah's womb. They just laughed about it. They said, there's no way. We have watched that boy be born. God kept his promise. They have run. We've seen them run. We've seen them run from God. We've seen them worship God. Okay? Then we saw the greatest test of faith last week as Abraham was tested with the taking of Isaac to Mount Moriah. And we looked at that last week in Genesis 22. Now, once again, we see the reality of life again. Church family, one of the benefits that I've had of digging into the book of Genesis, and I'll just tell y'all this that's been really ministered to me, is how that the Bible doesn't candy coat life. The Bible shoots us straight. The Bible tells us with all of our warts and all of our problems and all of the difficulties, and all of these people in the Bible were not perfect. Amen? They were not perfect. They made mistakes. They needed God in their life. And so some people think that, well, look, if I can just clean myself up, then I'll come to the Lord. No. No, you come to the Lord first. He'll clean you up. Let him clean you up again. You see, and so we see this here. Now, we have seen death before in Genesis, but now we see it in one of the key heroines of the story. Sarah dies. Now, I've been told that you can tell a lot about the culture, a culture, by the way they treat their dead. You can tell a lot about a culture by the way they treat the unborn, too. But particularly for our study today, I want you to think about, you can tell a lot about a culture by the way they treat their dead. I've observed over many, many years now, being in ministry, the way we handle Christian death. And sometimes I've been observed how those that do not know Jesus handle death. Can I tell you something interesting? And I've noticed this, but our funeral directors, I thought about that, I wrote that down, and I thought, you know, I'm going to actually get up and quote funeral directors in my message today. But anyway, I am going to do that. They have told me, they said, Pastor, you would be shocked if you knew how many people died and absolutely nothing was done. And it's more today than it's ever been. As life becomes cheapened, the way we handle birth and the way we handle death will change. You can tell a lot about a culture by the way they treat its dead. I've seen that myself. Imagine that, nothing being done. Now, I'm not enamored by death, okay? My kids kid me because sometimes I like to go. I took a trip to North Carolina to see the Carr family grave. My grandfather, who actually has my name, I have his name. Let's put that in the right order there, right? I have his name, Calvin Johnson Carr. It'll shake you up a little bit when you look on a tombstone and you see your exact name on that tombstone. Well, I've been up there. My kids kid me a little bit about that, but I want to see the place where they're buried, okay? I'm not enamored by it, but I've been around death quite a bit as a minister of the gospel, and of course, many of you in healthcare, you've been around death more than I have, and you have a lot to share. But death's a little spooky to me, to be honest. I had a friend in seminary that worked at a funeral home. I said, "What are you doing over there, Dale?" He said, "Well, you know, when somebody dies, they leave the body, and there has to be somebody there all the time, 24/7. All I could think about was being him in a funeral home with dead bodies in there all by yourself in the middle of the night. Well, anyway, you heard about the old drunk that was coming home from the bar, pitch dark at night, late one night, a rainy night, and he took a shortcut through a cemetery. Well, it was pitch dark. He fell in a dugout grave that was being prepared for the next day. Full grave, dugout. Man, because it was raining, it was so slippery, he thought, man, I'm in a grave. I got to get out of here. And he kept trying, and he finally had to give up. He couldn't get out. It's too slippery. So he sat down in the corner of that square dugout grave. Well, meanwhile, another drunk came along. He took the same shortcut and fell into the grave. And man, he got worried, started scratching, tried to get out. And he couldn't get out. He tried and tried to get out. Finally, he heard a deep voice. "You'll never get out." But he did. That's kind of the way I feel about it. I don't know how hard it would have been to get out, but if I heard that voice, buddy, I'd have come out of that grave, I can tell you, okay? Well, death can do funny things to people. I'm told that there's this thing where I'm laughing at myself talking about this stuff, but it amazed me. There are people that deep freeze themselves. They deep freeze themselves, and they do that because they're hoping that one day the ailment that took their life they'll find a cure, and somehow they can bring them back and be healed and come back to life. Okay? It's funny. People do that in hopes that one day they'll be able to be brought back to life. Look, we know from Scripture, church family, listen to this. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Okay? So we know that from God's Word. Now, this is not my normal message, but I want us to talk a little bit about what we can learn from Sarah's death. What is here to teach us about death, but also what is here to teach us about life? All right? Find your place in Genesis 23, verse 1. I'm going to read from my copy of God's Word if you'll follow along in your copy. All right? This is Genesis chapter 23, verse 1. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Verse 3. Then Abraham stood up before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for a burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, Hear us, my lord, you are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial places. None of us will withhold from you his burial place, that you may bury your dead. Then Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, the sons of Heth, and he spoke with them, saying, If it is your wish that I bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and meet with Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is at the end of his field. Let him give it to me at the full price as property for a burial place among you. Now Ephron dwelt among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the presence of the sons of Heth, all who entered at the gate of his city, saying, No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field and the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I give it to you, bury your dead. Now, when he was saying, I give it to you, the commentators say he really wasn't giving it to him. He was saying to them, if you take the cave, you got to take the field. They both come together, okay? Abraham just wanted the cave. But Ephron said, no, he's the Hittite. He said, no. He said, if you get the cave, you got to take the field, all right? Now, verse 10. Now, Ephron dwelt among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the presence of the sons of Heth and all who entered at the gate of the city. Verse 11. No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field and the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I give it to you, bury your dead. Verse 12. Then Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land, and he spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, If you will give it, please hear me. I will give you money for the field. Take it from me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying to him, My lord, listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? So bury your dead. And Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out the silver for Ephron, which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, currency of the merchants. So the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, which were within all the surrounding borders, were deeded. See that in verse 17, verse 18. To Abraham as a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth, before all who went in the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as property for a burial place. Evidently, Hebron, where Sarah died, was a place occupied by the Hittites. Now, we know God had promised Abraham the land of Canaan, which this was there. This is 19 miles south of Jerusalem. So if you have a Bible that has maps in the back, you know, the preachers used to say the Bible is inspired all the way from Genesis to maps. If you have a Bible that has a map in the back, you can go find Jerusalem somewhere in one of the early maps in your set there and look right under Jerusalem and you'll see Hebron. This is the place where this was. All right, so now what can we learn from Sarah dying? All right, here's the first thing. Number one, it's okay to weep. It's okay to weep. In verse 2 and in verse 1, we find in our text, it says, in verse 2, so Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Now, sometimes even as Christians, people will say to someone, now, don't cry. Don't cry. I think that could be perhaps one of the worst things we could ever say. Hey, listen, it's okay to cry. And I think we learn from Abraham, if there's ever a person that was a picture of faith, Abraham is our example in faith, and yet he had faith, but he lost Sarah, his wife, who was 127 years old. And so the Bible says he came to mourn and to weep for her. She died in Hebron in the land of Canaan. Now, we see that Jesus wept. One of my favorite memory verses is John 11:35. Jesus wept. I got that one, okay? Well, Jesus did weep. When Jesus came and heard of the death of Lazarus, his friend, Jesus wept. It's okay to weep. One of the things we learn, I don't know, maybe somebody in here needed to hear that today. Maybe I needed to hear that today. Somebody dies that you love, it's okay to weep. It's okay to cry. Now, one thing that the Bible does say is that we don't sorrow in the same way that the world sorrows. Because the world sorrows because that's it for them. They do not know, they are not aware. If they do not know Jesus Christ, they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not headed for heaven. They're headed separated from God in a place called hell. And those that are left behind, if they don't believe in God and they don't believe in Jesus Christ, then to them that's the end. And so they sorrow, and they sorrow in a different way than we do. Listen to what 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 says. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Listen to this, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Now, it doesn't mean we don't cry, it doesn't mean we don't weep, but we don't sorrow in the same way because we have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now listen to this last verse, verse 18. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Those promises allow us to not sorrow as those who have no hope. So we do sorrow, we do weep. It's hard to lose a loved one. I was 30 years old and my mom got cancer. I had a 5-year-old. I had a 2-year-old and I had a 1-year-old. And I watched my mom go through all that. At age 34, my mom died. Hardly a day goes by I don't think about my mama, what she meant to me. This is the first time in the Bible we see tears. Abraham wept for Sarah. But I want you to know something, church family. It doesn't make it easier to go through it. But in Revelation 21, verse 4, the Bible says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." There used to be a great preacher. Kelly's dad used to tell me about him. His name was Vance Havner. Dr. Vance Havner actually had a wife named Sarah who died rather young. And Dr. Warren Wiersbe tells the story of Dr. Havner and him being on the platform preaching somewhere in a conference. And Sarah, Dr. Havner's wife, had just died. And Dr. Wiersbe said to Dr. Havner, he said, "I'm so sorry you've lost Sarah." Dr. Havner looked at him and said, "When you know where something is, you hadn't lost it." Amen. Now, we weep because of separation. Man, I'd love for my mama to see Kylie and Charlie, my grandkids. Hey, but let me tell you something I'm holding on to. I hadn't lost my mom. I know where she is. And I'm going there again. I'm going there to be with her. So we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. As a believer, we have an ultimate destination. And we know that where that place is. So where you know where something is, you haven't lost it, according to Dr. Havner. So the first thing we learn is it's okay to weep. The second thing, it's okay to honor the life of the loved one. Most of the time, as a pastor, the churches I've been in, we've had a service. We've had a funeral service. We've had a memorial service. And then sometimes you have a graveside service. And over the years, things change. The way things are done, they change. But it's okay to honor the life of the loved ones, to commemorate their life. Look what we learn about what Abraham did. The first thing under that, as he honored Sarah, Abraham saw himself as a visitor. Look in the scripture in verse 4 of our text. He says, "I am a foreigner and a visitor among you." Abraham saw himself in Hebron, the place he was trying to buy that Machpelah, that cave. They buried people in caves in those days. And he said, I want to buy that. But he said, "Look, I'm a foreigner. I'm a visitor." Can I tell you this? As a believer, we have an ultimate destination. This is not our home. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So I believe this with all my heart, church family. When a believer in Jesus Christ dies, now we can't see on the other side, but we have the promises of God to tell us some things. I believe they're with the Lord. Not their body. Their body is going to be resurrected later. And by the way, your body is our body will be saved too. Okay? Our body will be resurrected, but we'll have a new body. And it's likened unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't have the frailty of this body, but it'll be a new body. So he basically, you see in here that it's okay to honor the life. Abraham saw himself as a visitor. And the truth is, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then the Bible says that you don't have that hope. In Psalm 1, it says, "The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly," the Bible says, "will perish." And I would not be worth my weight in salt if I did not tell you that if you do not know Jesus, then you have no future with God in eternity. That's what the Bible says, folks. The Bible says, the way of the ungodly shall perish. But the great news, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. We must bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, turn from our sin, and receive the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Well, it's not that way for the wicked because they're like the chaff. Let me tell you this. If you think the earth is it, then you may be tempted to try to make the commemoration more than it should be. It's one thing to have to honor the person, have a commemoration. It's one thing to have a headstone, one thing to have a thing, you know, to honor them. I'm glad I can go back to the Carr family thing in Duplin County, North Carolina, and see that tombstone says Calvin Johnson Carr. I'm glad I can do that, but let me tell you this. If all I have in this world is what's in this world, then sometimes people think this is it. And boy, you're talking about the commemoration. I was looking for Conica in here. Conica is in here somewhere? She's sick at home today. Okay. Well, I was thinking about the Taj Mahal. Y'all know about the Taj Mahal? I have two daughters that went on a mission trip to India one time, and Kanika, being from India, I'm sure she's been there many times. The Taj Mahal was built by the Emperor Shah Jahan in Agra in India. Well, it was done for his wife, Mumtaz Mahal, which means the chosen one of the palace. It was his favorite wife. Well, this emperor ruled from 1628 to 1658, all right? And in 1631, his wife died in childbirth. And so he said, I'm going to build her the greatest tomb. And it is magnificent. It took him 22 years to build it. Made out of solid white ivory. One of the most amazing, beautiful, really architectural wonders of the world. Used 22,000 different laborers, and he did that in order to memorialize that wife that he loved. You know, perhaps over the top. But we do see that Abraham found that place to honor and to commemorate his wife. So the first thing that we see is he saw himself as a visitor, a sojourner in the land. The second thing, he wanted to find a place to bury Sarah. He said in verse 4, give me property for a burial place. By the way, that phrase where it says bury your dead, some places in our text it says bury my dead. It says, bury the dead, bury your dead. But that little phrase, bury the dead, is used 7 times in this passage. And he goes to the sons of Heth. Now, these were Hittites. These were the people that were overseeing this land. He says, I want the cave of Machpelah. Well, he said, I'll give you the field and the cave. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. So it was deeded to Abraham, the field and the cave. So we realize that he wanted to find a place to bury her. And then here's one thing that we realize when we think about this. He and she lived as a witness before others. As you think about the way she was honored, she was a witness and he was a witness before others. I want you to look at verse 6 in our text. It says, hear us, my Lord. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial places. The phrase, you are a mighty prince among us, means a prince with God. We are to have a witness and a testimony to the people. And Abraham had that even amongst those that were not in his family of faith. Even to these Hittites, he had a witness to them. And so he goes to them, says, I'm a foreigner. I need a place to bury the dead. He said, and they said, well, you can have the field and the caves. But they said, you are a mighty prince among us. He evidently had a witness. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct, listen, honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." We can live in such a way. What does the Bible say about Jesus? Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Jesus Christ lived in such a way without compromising in sin, and yet lived in such a way that received honor. And this is the way that Sarah and Abraham lived, and you see that demonstrated in this. We see that Sarah died in faith in Hebrews 11:11. She was named with the heroes and the heroines of faith. Peter named her as a good example for Christian wives to follow in 1 Peter chapter 3. And then Paul used her to illustrate the grace of God in the life of a believer. So she had a witness. You know, the scripture says this in Proverbs 22:1. Now hear me. Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Now our world screams at us that the thing that's important is stuff. But you know what your greatest asset is? Your greatest asset is your name. Your legacy. What it means to the people around you that your name is mentioned. And this was the kind of legacy that Abraham, even in the midst of the Hittites in Hebron, he had that sort of a testimony. So we see it's okay to weep. We see it's okay to honor the life. Here's the last thing in verse 20. I thought this was interesting. It's okay to plan. Because in verse 20, you know what he does? In verse 20, he gets all that and it says, "So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as property for a burial place." Even though Sarah was gone, he showed respect and he commemorated her and gave proper closure. Proper closure. You think about that in that particular place, the cave of Machpelah. You can look this up online in Hebron. That's still there and it's guarded. And they have two sides. They have a Muslim side and they have the Jewish side of the cave of Machpelah, the place where Sarah was buried. But I want you to realize, think of all who were buried there. Do you know, we're not there yet, but we're going to get there eventually to the end of Genesis. I think it'll be in 2024. We'll get there. I got one person smiling, okay? The rest of y'all going, "Yeah, get there quick, preacher." But anyway, we'll get there eventually, but I want you to know that you're going to find Abraham's tomb is quite full. Sarah was buried there, and then Abraham, listen, and then Isaac, and then Rebekah, and then Leah in Genesis 49, 29 through 31, and then Jacob joined them in Genesis 50, verse 13. Well, Genesis ends with a full tomb, but the four Gospels end with an empty tomb. Amen. Jesus has conquered death and taken away its sting. The Bible says the sting of death is sin. Because of sin in our life, it's a sting, and nobody likes to talk about death. I don't like to talk about death. I told you the story of when I was a little boy and Uncle John D. died, and we went up there. Back then, they kept the body in the house. And we spent the night with my aunt. And I was a little tyke. And Mom said, "Calvin, go on up there and go to bed." Well, I had to go by the front parlor, and I went in there and I had one eye on the staircase and one eye on that parlor because Uncle John D. was laying in that parlor. Man, I tell you, I'm not into this, but I will tell you, because of what Jesus has done and the empty tomb, and we're going to celebrate that coming up on Easter. We celebrate it every Sunday. We don't have to worry about eternity because the Lord takes care of his children. Amen? I would say to you this today. You don't know what's on the other side. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I hadn't thought a whole lot about death. And man, I didn't know what I was going to get into today when I came to this church. But let me tell you something. You don't know what's on the other side. The world has spent all kinds of time trying to figure it out. We know from Scripture, though, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he said to Thomas, who doubted and wondered, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is your guide into heaven. And the way you receive Jesus Christ is you turn from your sin and you trust Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. And when you do that, you have the promise. Jesus said this, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. John 6:47. If you believe upon Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. Well, death causes us to think about legacy, think about our life. And I would just say this to you, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And loving favor rather than silver and gold. May we pray together. Let's bow our heads and hearts for prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.